chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Real quick, I want to give you a blessing. I don't know, maybe a month and a half ago or so, we were in school and I was talking to the junior high and high school, and I just asked them, I said, I didn't tell them what to do, but I asked them to just pray about maybe coming to a Christian school, there's certainly an opportunity to learn academics, but you also have an opportunity to do spiritual things. And to pray about maybe something that you could do for the Lord. Well, I had one student come to me and said, Pastor, Lord, touch my heart about something, and I'd like to... So this junior high girl talks to all of the junior high and high school and says, the Lord placed it on my heart about being serious witness and being a bold witness. And but I don't know what to do with that. I need help. So this past Tuesday, we had our first junior high, high school, during their lunchtime, soul winning class. And I made it. Volunteer, if you'd like to hear more about this, come on out. We had, I don't know how many kids are in those two classes, but I'd say 90% of those kids came to that class. Here they are. And asked them, how many of you never let anyone to the Lord? Hands went up. How many of you are nervous about all that, have fears? Hands went up. They're just being honest. Man, what a blessing that we have some young people that want to learn more about being a soul winner. Man, that didn't touch my heart. And they want to go out. They want to have instruction and go out and go witness and go door to door and go do it. And I said, well, let's use the cold months to learn about it, and then we'll use the warmer months to go out and do it. So so you pray for this group of young people. We're going to meet again on this Friday and trying to help them, and gave them some verses to start memorizing already. But, man, that was an encouragement to my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We would all agree as we look at this passage, what is it better for us to be focused on? The things that can pass away or the things that will last forever? Well, we would all agree, if I was more spiritually minded, if I was more eternally minded, that would be better. The best decisions that I make are the ones when I consider eternity. Now, the problem is that I don't always make all my decisions with eternity in mind. Sometimes I make decisions based on what I see. Sometimes I make decisions, unfortunately, more times than not, I think I make more decisions based on what I see than what I don't. That's just the truth of the matter. And I know it's not right, and as I read this passage, I think, how do I make 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 a constant thing? Where I not get consumed with this life, but I'm more eternally minded. You know, there's this adage that says, you know, that person was so spiritually minded that they were no earthly good. I was reading a book about prayer this past week, and the author mentioned that thought. He says, I've yet to see that man. True. I don't think we could be so eternally minded that would do us bad. So the question is tonight, the question we're going to try and answer through the scriptures is, how do I stay spiritually minded? Because we would all agree, if I could fulfill 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, unfortunately I do, but at the things which are not seen, unfortunately sometimes I don't. For the things which are seen are temporal, and I believe all that. But the thing that gets most of my attention are the things that are temporal. So how do I fix that? How do I stay spiritually, eternally minded? Well, number one, Matthew chapter 5. Some of these things are going to be a little Just hear it out. That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm looking to do things in my life that's going to help me be more spiritually minded. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29 says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Now, let me ask you a question. Under the context of this passage, should we be ripping our eyes out of our head? No. Should we cutting limbs off, hands off? You know what, though? I'm not saying that this would ever be right. But the man that had destroyed his life with alcohol, I wonder if you asked him, "Don't you wish you didn't have a hand that you couldn't hold the drink?" Oh, yeah. But the context is not that we dismember ourselves. But we do act somewhat extreme in that if there's something in our life that is causing or aiding us to sin, cut it out. If I'm looking to be more spiritually minded, if I'm looking to be more eternally minded, well, the thing that conflicts that most is sin. So if I get caught up in myself or sin, well, I'm certainly not going to be thinking spiritually minded. So, or eternally minded. So if there's something in my life that is leading me to it's got to go. And that's different for everybody. I was talking to a young man this past week. And he said, "Pastor Russo, that message about sanctification touched me. And I felt like I need to do some things different and put some filters on some things in my house." Why? What did he do? He cut some things out. Hey, I don't know what it is that you struggle with or what your sin is or whatever that is or whatever leads you, but if it's hindering you, if there's something in your life that's causing you to sin, what should we do? We should remove that which is wrong so we can be eternally and spiritually minded. Because when we're caught up in sin, what does sin affect? It affects our mind. It makes us mad. Remember we looked at that when we looked at the prodigal. When he came to himself. Why? Because he was out of his mind. Hey, if I'm looking to be spiritually, eternally minded, I need to remove that which is wrong. I know that's extreme, but I don't think anyone would look back and go, "Man, I'm so glad I left that opportunity for sin in my life." No one's saying that. Remove the wrong. It'll help you to have a focus on eternity. Point number two. Psalm chapter 43. This one's a little more encouraging. I try and intermix them. Psalm 43. Look at verse 4. Psalm 43 and verse 4. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." Make God your exceeding joy. You see what it says there? Unto God my exceeding joy. I want you to take a look in inventory in your life and figure out what makes you the most happy. What is it that brings joy to your heart? Oh, sitting on my boat, fishing. Make God your exceeding joy. That will help you be spiritually and eternally minded. Make God your exceeding joy. Say, how do you do that? My experience has been The more fellowship I have with the Lord, the better. And the way I see the time together with the Lord is through prayer, Bible reading, meditating on His thoughts and His principles. That develops my relationship with Him. That develops our relationship with Him. And to spend time with the Lord is an exceeding joy. Maybe, I don't know how everyone's week went this week. I mean, we're on Wednesday. We talked significantly about prayer on Sunday. I don't know if anybody changed anything or did anything different. And some days it's harder to do. I mean, last night it was 11 o'clock at night and we still haven't done our list yet. And it's like, all right, do we go to bed or... No, here, let's do our list. And then once you start talking to the Lord, it's like, oh, this is right and this is good. Make God your exceeding joy. Oh, I can't wait to get home and watch the game. Man, if that's the thing you're most excited about, you are not going to be spiritually eternally minded. It's one football game. I understand. But it's your heart. It's our hearts. What is the thing that brings us most joy? Make God your exceeding joy. It will help you be eternally and spiritually minded. Luke chapter 16. So how many of these do you have? Do you see the clock? I understand. We fellowshipped a little bit around. I think these will be a blessing to you. So that's why I'll progress through them quickly. Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. We're familiar with Luke chapter 16. We have a rich man and Lazarus. They have a communication. And then verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. What will help us be eternally minded and spiritually minded is that we see souls or people as eternal souls. If the cashier that you're talking to, you did not see her as the 17-year-old girl that's, you know, working at Wegmans, but if you said in your mind, where are you going to be in 100 years? 100 years from now, nobody will be sitting in this room. Say, why the church is going to be... None of us are going to be around in 100 years. If every single person we thought of in 100 years, where are you going to be? That takes that 17-year-old girl and all of a sudden puts an eternal value on them. Not, man, that girl's got a ton of time. But every single one... I mean, there's one lady over at Hilton East is 101, right? Yeah. But for the most part, by the time you hit three digits, you don't. If we saw souls or people eternally, that will help us be more spiritually minded. Because I see those little kids running around down the hall and I think, they got a whole lifetime. I don't really need... That's not true. The 15-year-old kid pumping gas, well, they're not 15, but they feel like they are. 15-year-old kid pumping gas, or the 21-year-old kid pumping gas, I think, he's got a long time, I don't need to hand him a track. But if I thought 100 years from now, where would he be? If I viewed everybody 100 years from now, that would help me be eternally and more spiritually minded. Because I'm no longer seeing their flesh, but I'm seeing them as their soul. And that's different. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. First point is remove the wrong. Number two, make God your exceeding joy. Number three, see the eternal soul. Point number four, don't get caught. Say, well, what's that mean? Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. I jump down to verse 11 just for sake of time. This is where Christ explains it. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. And while at which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. Verse 14 is the one I want to draw our attention to. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Caught in a snare. Caught in thorns, which prevented them from being eternally and spiritually minded. Why? Because they've brought forth no fruit. Don't get caught. Don't get caught up with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Talking to a young man this week who's bankrupt because of gambling. And that's sad. What happened? Got caught up. Got caught up in he was already behind and he was trying to make up for what he lost. And don't get caught. Don't get caught in the lie that the most important thing are riches and pleasures. Have an eternal spiritual mind. When we make it all about money, and when we make it all about experiencing something, know what happens? We are no longer eternally minded. It's all about, what can I get right here? Read an article this past week about a house in L.A. It's on sale. It went from $250 million down to $150 million. $100 million off. A house. $150 million. Comes with seven servants. Servants probably isn't the right word. House attendants. Caught up in the riches of this life. Consumed in earthly pleasures. Not eternally minded. Say, I don't have $150 million. You could use every dollar that you have, whatever it is, whether it's two or 2 million, and get caught up in the riches of this life. Be careful, because it will take you away from being eternally minded. All of your efforts will go into making today most comfortable. Love the story of Hudson Taylor. Long before he ever went to China, he sold all that he had and lived in a little studio apartment, slept on the ground and ate a very modest food of rice and simple things like that. Not because he didn't have money. He was a doctor's assistant. He had money, but he was preparing for what was to come. Unfortunately, we take our paycheck and we take it all the way to the max of what is the most fun I can have with this. And I'm no longer eternally minded. I'm no longer spiritually minded. Don't get caught. I just have two more. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. We'll go quick. It's probably going to be a snow day this week anyways. It'll catch up on sleep. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. What number is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Keep good friends. How do you stay spiritually minded? By talking about spiritual things. You need a spiritual person to talk about spiritual things. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Do you remember when we were out here, Pastor Huber's funeral service? How many pastors were there? How many men of God were there that stood up? Pastor Huber took this verse to heart. He walked with wise men. That was helpful. Hey, it would be helpful for us to surround ourselves with spiritual men. It would be helpful for us to walk with wise men. Why? Because they're eternally minded. Not just wise men that know the square root, you know, not just earthly science, but godly principles. Keep good friends. Talk about spiritual things. Talk about eternity. Pray together about eternal things. Those will be the best friends you will ever have. Remove the wrong. Make God your exceeding joy. See the eternal soul. Don't get caught. Keep good friends. And lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just trying to help us stay eternally, spiritually minded. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Understand that life is short. Have some urgency. I got time. I'll serve God when... No. Man, it goes by so fast. Life is short. Live with urgency for God. Do not put off serving the Lord. Put off the cruise. Put off the trip around the world. Put off the boat. Put off the... Serve God now. You'll be happy you did. Stay. How to stay eternally and spiritually minded. Can we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We'll read that verse again, and then we'll stand and we'll be dismissed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's remove the wrong. Make God our exceeding joy. See the eternal soul. Don't get caught. Keep good friends. And remember, life is short. Have urgency in doing the things of God. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Keep one another in your prayers. As I hear from Matthew, I probably won't hear from Matthew, but as I hear from the Seatman family or the Calipes, thank you, I'll pass that on to you. Text message. I won't call you or anything like that, but I'll send a text message. And nice thing about text messages, if you're asleep, you'll get it when you wake up, that kind of thing. And so just pray for one another, and appreciate those that have been praying. Again, the fact that Brother Rice and I were talking about, the fact that the surgery was canceled, and all of a sudden it was again made for 1 o'clock today. I don't know. I'm not God, and I don't know all the circumstances, but and I just feel like God heard us and answered us. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Rice, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Dear God.